1972, Joey Gallo killed in Little Italy during dinner at Umberto's Clam House.
An hour from now, for you tonight, or 100 years from now, I'm in jail. I mean,
they get there by violence, and often as not, they leave by violence.
Between $3 and $5 million in cash and valuables was taken from the Lufthansa cargo terminal out at Kennedy Airport.
I can give you guys $500,000 a year without a problem.
New York City is a war zone for mobsters and their targets.
Hello everyone, and welcome into episode 54 of The Black Hand, an organized crime history podcast. I'm your host, Bliss Grieve, and on today's show, we're going to be talking about the history of the Giannini Crew, a mafia farm team closely connected to the Bonanno family that ran the streets of Queens throughout the 70s, 80s, and to a lesser extent, the 90s. They were a group of young, rough-and-tumble Sicilian-American youths, most of whom were the sons and nephews of older mobsters who made their names through heroin trafficking, namely that connected to the Pizza Connection case. And in step with that, the group was founded by a heavyweight mobster of a similar ilk named Baldassare Amato, who became prolific for his role in the murder of Carmine Galanti, and eventually turned the Giannini Crew into one of the most feared groups in the New York mob scene at the time. Before we get started, if you want to support the show, please rate it and go follow the show's Instagram and Twitter pages at The Black Hand Pod. And please feel free to reach out. Also, consider giving a little bit to the show's Venmo at The Black Hand Pod as well. The link's in the description. But without further ado, let's get right into today's episode. And though the Giannini Crew didn't really hit the streets until the mid-1980s, the history of their formation really begins in the late 1960s to mid-70s. At a time when Carmine Galanti had yet to make his power move against the Bonanno family, and the family Sicilian faction was really starting to gain momentum. In the 1950s, the Bonanno family started bringing Sicilian-born mafia members to New York to form closer ties with the Sicilian crime families. And before long, they grew so much in numbers that they really became a semi-independent faction within the family itself, somewhat nominally led by Carmine Galanti. With ties to mafia clans in Trapani, Palermo, and Agrigento, as well as the Catroni crime family in Canada. He was underboss to Joe Bonanno at the time, and led a massive international drug trafficking ring, importing French Connection heroin from Italy and moving it from Canada to the US for distribution amongst the five families. A racket that was bringing in tens and probably even hundreds of millions of dollars every year for the Bonanno family. But by the mid-1960s, following Joe Bonanno's staged kidnapping and fleeing from New York, he made his son Bill the family's consigliere, and despite that, he basically left the family in his hands. However, this didn't sit well with the commission, who eventually named Bonanno's former close associate and current rival, Gaspar Di Gregorio, the true head of the Bonanno family, thus kickstarting the Bananas War, which would last from late 1964 until early 1969. And when it was all said and done, the new boss of the family would be a man named Paul Siaka, who would actually keep things steady for about 3 years, until he was succeeded by Natalie Evola, who would have a similarly short run at the top. But it was with his fall that a series of events would be put in motion that would lead to the rise of Sicilians and ultimately, the Giannini Crew. Because on August 28, 1973, Natalie Evola died of cancer. And about 6 months later, on February 23, 1974, at a meeting at the Americana Hotel in Manhattan, the commission named a powerful Mazbeth, Queens-based capo named Philip Rusty Rastelli the new boss of the Bonannos. And funny enough, he was the first member of the family's Queens faction to become boss, as all the previous bosses had come from the family's birthplace in Brooklyn. But it was at this point that Carmine Galanti and the Sicilians would come into play. Because in January 1974, just a month before Rastelli's ascension, Galanti was released from prison after serving about 12 years of a 20-year sentence on drug charges. And now that he was back on the streets, Galanti started currying even more favor within the family than he already had from his days as Joe Bonanno's underboss. So when Philip Rastelli was convicted of extortion in April 1976, Galanti launched his coup against Rusty's administration, effectively becoming the Bonanno family's unofficial acting boss. But after an attempted takeover of the narcotics market and a public disregard for the mafia hierarchy, wheels started turning behind the scenes that would result in his downfall. And before long, Genovese family front boss Frank Funzitieri started contacting other Cosa Nostra leaders to build a consensus for a hit on Galanti, going so far as to obtain approval from the retired Joseph Bonanno. Then in 1979, they received a boost when the official boss of the Bonannos, Philip Rastelli, sought commission approval to kill Galanti. It had Rastelli's right-hand man, Joe Massino, relay the request to the commission, which swiftly approved a contract on Galanti, bringing the Sicilians back into the mix. Because by the late 1960s, a capo named Salvatore Catalano ran the Bonanno family's Sicilian faction while running the family's heroin racket with Carmine Galanti. Eventually becoming the second-in-command for the Pizza Connection, running all of the ring's U.S. operations, making the Sicilian faction the lifeblood for the Bonannos, at least when it came to drug money. And it was in Catalano's crew that two very important soldiers would come up. Their names were Baldassare Amato and Cesare Bonventre. They were important because they served as Carmine Galanti's trusted bodyguards, and when he was gunned down on July 12, 1979, at Joe and Mary's in Bushwick, Brooklyn, they did nothing to protect him, but were left unharmed nonetheless. More than that, it's believed that they were entrusted by the commission with luring Galanti to the restaurant for the hit. And as a result, following the hit, both Amato and Bonventre were promoted to capo, completing a pretty streamlined rise in the Bonanno family, considering that he had only come to the States in 1970. And it was with this newfound power that Baldo Amato created the Giannini crew. Headquartered out of Amato's Cafe Giannini in the Ridgewood section of Queens, which is where they got their name. But they also hung out at the corner of 78th Avenue and 74th Street in Glendale, Queens. Besides Amato, it was a very young crew, made up of members in their late teens to early 20s, most of whom were American-born Sicilians that were sons or nephews of Sicilian gangsters that were involved in drug trafficking. Some members were even born in Italy and came to America when they were very young. This youth was almost intentional, as they became a farm team for the mob, and as their members became more seasoned, they'd be welcomed into the Bonanno family, or possibly even others. Similar to other mafia-affiliated gangs of the time, like the Ridgewood Boys in Queens, the Bath Avenue crew in Brooklyn, and the New Springville Boys in Staten Island. What placed the Giannini crew on the Fed's radar was the Bonanno family as a whole, who following the Pizza Connection case, were still generating cash from the drug business. And as crack cocaine replaced heroin as the new top seller, law enforcement soon noticed crews selling crack and powder cocaine out of some cafes and coffee shops in Queens and Brooklyn. But before long, the Giannini crew would have to face their first major challenge in 1987 when Baldassare Amato was nabbed as part of the Pizza Connection case. However, while most defendants in the case were sent away for decades, and some for as long as 45 years, Amato caught a break and escaped with just a 5-year sentence, being let out after serving just 3. And by the time he got out, his crew was stronger than ever, made up of dozens of young, violent hoods who were aligned with the Bonanno, Colombo, and Gambino crime families. Known for robbing houses, stores, and banks, while committing a range of violent crimes, including executions. In 1998, the New York Times even described the Giannini crew as, quote, a scourge of Western Queens who robbed banks, businesses, committed arson and extortion, and murdered other gangsters in disputes and double crosses. And one of their more disturbing shows of violence came in 1992 with the murder of 2 local drug dealers named John Ruisi and Stephen Pagnozzi. On January 8, 1992, the pair was lured to the Giannini Social Club in Ridgewood, Queens, where the crew planned to force them to reveal the location of their stash of marijuana. But when the men refused to give it up, a crew member named Vito Guzzo Jr. shot Ruisi in the head, while another, named Anthony Tabita, did the same to Pagnozzi. Afterwards, members of the crew stuffed the 2 bodies into plastic garbage bags, loaded them onto Ruisi's truck, and drove them to Greenpoint, Brooklyn, where a crew member named Anthony Siaka doused them with gasoline and set them on fire. And while the crew frequently worked with the Bonanno family due to Amato's stature, the Giannini's were largely a freelance operation. For example, in November 1992, 3 crew members, including a Colombo family associate named Vito Guzzo Jr., came together to kill a Colombo family soldier named Vincent Ricciardo. Wearing Halloween masks, the gunmen cut off Ricciardo's car on a quiet street in Queens and fired a dozen rounds at him at point-blank range, though he would survive the shooting. But one of the crew's most brazen murders involved a man named Samuel DeFalco, who owned and operated the Giannini restaurant, located about a block away from the Cafe Giannini. DeFalco went missing on February 27, 1992, and the police discovered his body 3 weeks later in the trunk of his daughter's car, which had been reported stolen. He had been shot twice in the back of the head for arguing with Amato, who believed that DeFalco had been stealing money from him. However, it wouldn't be long before there would be a changing of the guard within the Giannini crew. Because by 1994, it seems that Baldo Amato stepped back from the crew, possibly taking a senior advisory role, while a member of the group named Fabio Bartolotta took over actual control of the group by the time he was 20 years old. But he definitely had the salt to back up his ascension. Born and raised in Ridgewood, Queens, the epicenter for the crew's operations, Fabio was initially part of a local street gang called the Ridgewood Boys, and he was really mob-connected from the start. His mother, Francesco Bartolotta, owned the building at 6612 Fresh Pond Road in Ridgewood that housed the Cafe Giannini, and served as a sort of den mother for the 20-something mobsters. While Fabio's father, Salvatore Bartolotta, and great-uncle, Filippo Ragusa, were linked in the early 1980s to the Bonanno-linked heroin ring that formed the basis for the notorious Pizza Connection drug trafficking case. And it was only after Baldo Amato took Fabio under his wing that he became the new boss of the Giannini crew. But his run as the group's leader would be much shorter than his predecessors. Because in 1996, when Fabio was still just 22 years old, he and 13 members of the crew were indicted for a series of armed robberies, assaults, and arson fires over the last 3 years. The 32-count racketeering indictment came after a 2-year investigation by the FBI and the NYPD. And in all, the indictment charged the gang with carrying out 12 crimes, including arson, loan sharking, and assault, in Masbeth, Rego Park, Middle Village, Glendale, and Ridgewood, Queens. The gang was accused of 4 bank robberies, 3 of them at the same branch of the National Westminster Bank in Ridgewood, where about $250,000 was stolen, as well as robbing $35,000 from the Lincoln Savings Bank in Masbeth, Queens, and an unsuccessful attempt to rob the Chemical Bank in Glendale. In their crime spree, the gang was also accused of robbing a bakery, a pizzeria, a home improvement store, and trying to rob a security van of an armored car company. They were even charged with a contract arson of a hair salon in Jackson Heights as an insurance job for a gang associate. But Bartolotta's arrest would throw the Giannini crew into a few years of turmoil, because in the aftermath, a member named Paul Ragusa became the new boss of the group, but turned himself into the FBI in January of 1998, eventually being convicted of racketeering, arson, and a weapons charge, receiving a 20-year sentence. At which point, a seasoned member of the crew named Vito Guzzo Jr. took over as the new leader. He came up in Masbeth, Queens, the son of a Colombo soldier and Union official, hanging out at a Colombo family social club in Queens. And following his father's death, another Colombo mobster named Dennis Guzzardo took him under his wing, schooling him until he became leader of the Giannini's. But it wasn't long before he was also taken off the board when Guzzo copped to 5 murders as part of a 1998 guilty plea. In January 1992, Guzzo was part of a hit team that killed 2 local drug dealers named John Ruisi and Stephen Pagnozzi. Then, in August of 1992, he lured a Gambino associate named Ralph Shula to the basement of Fabio Bartolotta's home, then fatally shot Shula in the head. He was killed for not giving the Giannini crew a cut of his drug dealing and fraud money, and his partially decomposed body was found in the trunk of a car in Jericho, Long Island. A few months after that, in November 1992, Guzzo orchestrated the shooting of Colombo associates Vincent Ricciardo, Anthony Messi, and Paul Schiava as they drove to a capo's wake. He suspected that Ricciardo had killed his father, a Colombo family soldier, in upstate New York in 1987, so Guzzo made sure to take part in the ambush. A U-Haul truck pulled in front of Messi's car in Masbeth, Queens, while a second car boxed him in from behind. While Guzzo and another shooter, donning Halloween masks, sprayed the car with gunfire, killing Messi and badly wounding Ricciardo and Schiava. And finally, in October 1996, Guzzo and a Giannini crew member named Anthony Tabita murdered a Genovese family associate named John Borelli, who was dating Guzzo's ex-girlfriend. And when it was all said and done, thanks to his plea agreement, Guzzo only received 38 years in prison. Then, in 1999, authorities would take a shot at the true power within the Giannini crew when they arrested Baldo Amato on charges of associating with the crew, as well as federal robbery conspiracy charges. But while the Giannini crew started to decline with his absence, a new power continued to rise within the group. His name was Anthony Aiello. Born in 1976, he grew up in Middle Village, the son of a convicted heroin trafficker named Antonio Aiello, who owned several pizzerias in Queens. He was a millionaire several times over, and had even been seen by agents meeting with Bonanno Capo and leader of the family's Sicilian faction, Salvatore Catalano, and other major heroin traffickers. As a teenager, Anthony worked in a bagel restaurant while associating with local groups like the Giannini crew and the Middle Village Boys, which caught him the eye of Baldo Amato, who started grooming Aiello to become a member of the Bonanno family in the 1990s. And though his advancement in the underworld was halted when he was sentenced to prison for armed robbery in 1997, Ayala was released in July 2001 and underwent probation until August 2005. And while it's not entirely known who ran the Giannini crew during the time that Ayala was inside, it's pretty likely that he took over their leadership when he came out. More than that, federal prosecutors believed that Ayala was formally inducted into the Bonanno family during his probation period and started to gain a fierce reputation within the family. And by 2005, Ayala became the subject of an international manhunt by FBI agents looking to arrest him for the execution-style murder of a mob associate named Randolph Pizzolo, whose body was discovered in Greenpoint, Brooklyn on December 1st, 2004. It has since become known that Pizzolo was murdered by the Bonannos because he bragged about his role in the murder of Nicholas Cirillo, the son of Genovese family acting boss Dominic Cirillo. To make a long story short, following Pizzolo's subversive talk, acting boss of the Bonannos at the time, Vincent Basciano, was enraged. And ultimately, from prison, Basciano gave orders to another Bonanno mobster named Michael Mancuso to carry out the hit. He passed the order to a Bronx-based Bonanno capo named Dominic Ciccoli, who organized the hit by bringing in the up-and-coming soldier, Anthony Aiello, to carry out the job. In the aftermath, suspecting that he was about to be hit with federal murder charges, Aiello disappeared on January 28, 2005, the day after former Bonanno boss Joseph Messino was identified as a turncoat. And capo Dominic Ciccoli and boss Vincent Basciano were charged with ordering Pizzolo's murder. But on March 18, 2005, Aiello was finally arrested by 20 officers from the FBI, U.S. Marshals Service, and New York State Police. And after taking a plea deal, which saw him admit to being the shooter in the Pizzolo hit, he was sentenced to just 30 years in prison and currently has a projected release date of May 6th, 2031, putting him at about 54 years old. And it's due to that, as well as the fact that he didn't name any names and took his sentence like a stand-up guy, that a lot of people think he'll be bumped up to capo upon his release, and possibly even be fast-tracked to the Bonanno family's administration with a likely run at boss if he plays his cards right. But with Aiello off the streets now, law enforcement was about to deal the killing blow to the Giannini crew. And in January 2004, Baldassare Amato was indicted, along with 27 other individuals, for a slew of mob charges. Amato himself was charged with 3 counts related to illegal gambling enterprises and a single count of racketeering conspiracy, stemming from the murder of Samuel DeFalco and conspiracy to do so, the murder of Robert Perino and conspiracy to do so, illegal gambling activities, and conspiracy to commit robbery. Charges that resulted in Amato receiving life in prison. And it was really with his conviction that the history of the Giannini crew came to a close, because with Amato, the true power behind the crew, and Aiello, the nominal power, both away for really long stretches, the Giannini's really had no leadership to turn to. And more than that, there wasn't much of a crew left to speak of. Most members had either been convicted, turned informant, or straight up walked away from the life. And it seems that what remained of the group was redistributed to other crews, ending the story of a unique and prolific group in mob history. That's really all I have for you guys today. I hope you all thoroughly enjoyed today's show, and tune back in next week for episode 55. If you enjoyed today's show, please give it a rating and follow the show's Instagram and Twitter pages at The Black Hand Pod. And feel free to reach out with feedback, suggestions, and comments. Also, please consider giving a little bit to the show's Venmo at The Black Hand Pod as well. But But with that said, I hope you all have a great rest of your day. This is your host, Bliss Grieve, signing out.